Now, I want to have one of my favorite speakers talk to you about mortgages because this guy really knows his stuff. He goes all over America doing financial talks for me, teaching biblical finance, but he really knows the mortgage business and the banking business because I saved him from it. I pulled him out of there and he works on our team. Please welcome Chris Hogan.
Hello, everybody. As you can imagine, after 20 years of dealing with money and people, I've met a lot of people getting ready to try to buy a home. And as you can imagine, I've seen people do it right, and I've seen people do it wrong. We'll start with the wrong way. This was a couple, they'd been married about 3 years, and they had gotten house fever. Okay, you know what I'm talking about? See, they had friends buying homes, and they had family members buying homes, so they thought that they needed to. See, they were confusing want with need. You ever been there? It's so easy to do. And so they said, Chris, we're renting right now, but we want to start a family. And I said, okay, I can respect that. I can understand that. And they said, and here's the statement they made. We can't bring a baby home to an 800 square foot apartment. Seriously? Now, I'm thinking to myself, this is just an 8-pound baby. Okay, all they do, right, all they do is eat, sleep, and stuff, right, that first year. Like 800 square foot apartment, that's enough space. I'm thinking, did you buy like a 400 square foot baby crib? You can make this work. And see, they were confused, and I even told them so. It's like, listen, you all are getting confused with want versus need. You're not in a position yet. You're not following a plan. You don't have money saved up. You still have debt. Now, the right way, another couple, they've been married 5 years. They've been attacking debt. See, they've been sacrificing. They're working together, and they came in to see me because, see, they had saved up some money, but they weren't quite there yet, okay? They wanted to do 20% down, so they were focused. Now, when they came in to meet with me, she was 4 months pregnant, and here's what she told me. She goes, Chris, I really want a house. Now, I'm pregnant, so I'm a little tense. That was like a warning right there, okay? Which meant she could go off on me. She goes, I'm a little tense, but we're focused on getting this house before the baby gets here. And she said, now, we have some stuff we can sell. Now, she kept using we a lot, okay? And every time she said we, the husband would kind of tick, okay? And I knew something was coming, you all. She goes, yeah, we got some stuff. I said, okay, and I picked up on the hint. She goes, we have a boat and a motorcycle. Okay, and the guy, bless his heart, he looked so pitiful. He was looking at me like, help me. And I was looking at him like, I can't. She's pregnant. Ain't no sense both of us getting beat up in that room. I'm like, buddy, you on your own, okay? So guys, single, if you're single out here, men's survival tip. Don't argue with a pregnant woman, okay? Put that in your book. Go on. Write it down. But this couple was focused. See, they were working together and sacrificing. He eventually came on board. He was fine to give those things up because he knew he could get some other stuff later. But they had grown to bring me to my first point, to hate debt. This is the first thing. You have to hate debt. You don't want to get confused. And I know we've been raised not to hate. I know. For example, Mama Hogan, that's my mom. She raised me. She said, Christopher, now, you all, when she used my whole first name, it was like a tip, okay? Because I think one of the three W's were coming when she said Christopher. See, I'm normally Chris, but when Christopher came up, one or three W's were about to happen. She was either going to give me some wisdom, she was going to give me a warning, or I was about to get a whooping, okay? So when she said Christopher, my ears automatically, everything stopped. She goes, we don't hate people. But I understand that, and I respect that, but I want to give you all permission tonight to hate debt because it's a thief. It steals from us. Think about it. It makes our income outgone. Think about that. It is a thief. So we do want to hate it. So I tell people the best way to buy a home, put 100% down. 100%. Put the whole thing down. And people say, well, Chris, you can't do 100% down. Yes, you can if you're focused. You can. Now, a lot of people don't have the patience to do it, but you can do it. For example, we have a Dave Ramsey team member. She grew up in a family that had real-world money struggles, and we've all been there. We know what that's like. But she grew up and she made the decision to herself she was never going to have debt. She wasn't going to do it. Not a credit card, not a loan. She started saving up for a home at age 17, making $3,000 to $5,000 a year in investing, putting money away. Stayed focused. Okay, she stayed focused. She met the man of her dreams. He didn't have any debt, so they're working together now. Teamwork, it's a beautiful thing. So now they're bringing in about $95,000 together. You know what they did? They decided, you know what, we'll live off his income and we'll save hers. So they continued the habit of saving. So you can do it. You got to sacrifice, though. They saved up about $135,000. $135,000. So when it came time for them to go shop for a home, do you think they spent everything? Absolutely not. See, they only spent $119,000, but paid cash for a house. So it can be done if you're focused, and you have to be committed to that. Listen to this stat, according to the Census Bureau. 31% of homes in the United States have no mortgage debt on them at all. 31%. That's big. So listen, it sounds like to me that this whole area of being debt-free and whole concept is really catching on. People are starting to get it. So if you're not going to do 100% down, here's the plan. I want you to get a mortgage payment of no more than 25% of your take-home pay on a 15-year fixed with 10% down. That's the game plan. You're going to hear me say have a plan all throughout this lesson. That's the plan. No mortgage payment of no more than 25% of your take-home pay on a 15-year fixed rate with a 10% down payment. Now, you can put more down if you want, and I want you to. See, the temptation here as you're buying a home, it's great to overspend. It's real easy. So you have to have a plan. You have to be committed. Now, I point out this whole area of a 15-year fix because it's a big deal. See, I'm a former banker, okay? But as a banker, anybody in the financial world, if you go talk to them about getting a mortgage, they're going to push you toward a 30-year loan. That's just the natural instinct. So I want you, as you go in to buy a home, to know that the 15 years is the way I want to go. That's the direction. Don't get swayed. You go in confirmed, I want a 15-year. And I want to show you, if you would, take a look at this slide and you'll see the difference here. For example, on a $225,000 loan, 15-year payment is going to be around $1,900. But then you see on a 30-year loan, it's going to be about $1,400. So that's a difference of almost $600 a month. But take a look at the next fact. After 10 years of paying on this, 10 long years of chipping away at this thing and making progress, your balance now on the 15-year loan is $98,000. But look at the 30-year, almost double at $188,000. So you've paid on this thing almost $162,000 on a 30-year, but look what you've paid the balance down by, only $36,000. The 15-year is the way to go. It represents hundreds of thousands saved in interest. Now I want to tell you about something. Horrible mortgage options. And I want you to look at my face, okay? When you hear these options, I want you to run, okay? I scared somebody half to death in there. I want you to run if you see these. Okay, I don't care. Wives, if you're sitting at a bank or a financial institution and somebody mentions one of these options, I want you to get your purse, your keys, and your kids and go. All right? If your husband won't move, leave him. He'll meet you at the house. Go on. Go. You got to get out of there because these are dangerous. These will cost you money. After 20 years in the industry of looking, I know for a fact. The first one is an adjustable rate mortgage. Adjustable rate mortgage, ARM. Now, I've got a better acronym for them. I call them ain't right mortgages because they ain't right. Okay? On average, here's what happens. You get an interest rate right now, and after a certain point, it adjusts. Now, which way is it going to adjust? Up or down? Up. And if that goes up, what's your payment going to do? Up. Say up is bad.
Up is bad.
Yeah. Oh, y'all, I like y'all. Up is bad. You don't want it to go up. You want something that's going to be consistent. So here's the deal on adjustable rate mortgages. The ARM, the concept is to transfer the risk of the higher interest rate to the borrower in exchange for a lower interest rate now. So it's almost like a teaser rate. You don't want to go there. Remember, if you're budgeting, you're fixed on money. You're telling money where to go each time, each month. You don't need it fluctuating. So if you do have an adjustable rate mortgage today, I encourage you to get out, get with someone, a banker, a mortgage person, and get information on refinancing into a 15-year fixed rate. That's going to be the best way for you. And get some information to be able to help you. Now, another bad one is interest only. Interest only loans. These are a bad idea because why? You're just paying the interest. And I tell people, if you're not making principal progress, you're not making buying progress. Think about that. If you're just paying interest, it's almost like just treading water. You're not making any progress. So you want to make principal and interest progress. That means buying progress. Interest only are a banker's dream. They love them. All right? They love them and they want people to stay in there. Another one, reverse mortgages. Now, we've all heard about these, right? You see the commercials. You see the ancient heartthrobs from the 50s and 60s pushing these things. You've seen them. And you go, I remember that person from this show or that person from that show. They're trying to build credibility. These loans can be very expensive and can have high fees. Now, I tell you this because I want you to be forewarned, but I also want you to be able to protect your parents and your grandparents. Because, see, these loans, you have to be 62 years old or older to even qualify for these loans. So that's what they're targeting. But I tell people this with reverse mortgages. You have made payments each and every month. Each and every month. We're going forward, aren't we? Each month. The last thing we want to do is do what? Go in reverse. Think about it. You can see the finish line. You have run. You have pushed. You can see it. It's right over there. We don't want to go back. We've worked too hard to get to here. So you want to keep that in mind. Do your research. High rates, high fees. Another myth and a bad mortgage option is the accelerated biweekly payoff programs that you see out there. Now, these programs, they try to get you, convince you that there's some magic software or some mortgage genie out there that can attack your mortgage and pay it all faster. I'm here to tell you, you don't need to pay someone $400 to $600 a year to pay extra on a mortgage when you can do it. See, you're the secret weapon. You want to have the attitude that this mortgage is going to get out of my life. I'm going to throw extra money at it. I'm going to work extra, and I'm going to attack this thing and get it gone. There is no magic software out there that's going to do that for you. So don't buy into that. And then there's another myth. And it's the tax advantage of a mortgage, that you shouldn't pay off the home, that you want to hold on to it. And I can remember having a discussion with an accountant. Okay, he had a pocket protector and a calculator. And we debated on this, seriously, because I realized, see, in his mind, he crunches numbers. Okay, but what I teach people to do, I crush debt. So we were already opposed. But we went through it, and he was saying, Chris, you need to hold on to it for the tax advantage. And I'm saying, listen, I want people to pay off the mortgage and keep their payment to themselves. And we had this debate. And I want to show you all this so you can see this and don't fall for this anymore. For example, here, on a $200,000 mortgage at 5%, you're going to pay about $10,000 in interest to the bank each year. Now, that's donated to the bank. But if you were to pay off your mortgage and hold on to that $10,000, you would pay 25% in taxes, okay? And so you'd pay $2,500 to the government. So you get to hold on to your money. Now, I want to show you something because I brought a friend with me. I brought 10,000 of them. And I want you to see this because, see, we talk about numbers so much that, see, money becomes just a number with that little sign on it. But this is real here. This is real money. And so you look at this and you realize that, you know what? It doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense that I would keep my mortgage and send all of this to the bank as opposed to keeping the money, paying off my mortgage, holding on to this, and sending $2,500 to the government. I get to keep this. And some people will say, I want the tax deduction, Chris. Here's my thought. Pay off the mortgage and take this $10,000 and give it to your church or charity. How many people's lives could you rock with this? How many people could you bless with this? So this is simple math. We're not falling for that myth anymore because we know better. Now I'm going to put my friend away so he can go back to sleep and we can keep moving. But I want you to lace up your shoes with me because we're getting ready to run through some basic ways you can finance your home. And I'm going to move pretty quick, so track with me here. The first one is obviously a conventional loan. Now these loans are done through Fannie Mae and are privately insured against default. These have more structures, more guidelines, and hoops you have to jump through, but they're the best overall deal for you. So they also have what's called private mortgage insurance, PMI. Now, I want to clear up a myth here because a lot of people think that the PMI protects them. It does not. PMI insurance protects the lender against default. So think of it as foreclosure insurance. It protects the bank, not you as an individual. So you don't want to have this on your loan. Now, if you put a 20% down payment, you won't have it at all. You won't be affected with a 20% down payment. If you've been in your home a little while and you've paid the mortgage down and you've got 20% equity, you can contact your lender and get information about how to get this drop from your loan. So you can contact your lender and have that conversation. Now, another option are FHA loans. Now, FHA loans are insured by HUD, the federal government. These are heavily marketed to first-time homebuyers. Heavily marketed. And the reason is down payments can be as low as 3%. So people fall for it and look at it and they say, well, I don't want to be patient. I want to hurry up and get in these loans in a home. So I'm going to take this loan. I want to caution you. Okay. These loans are currently more expensive than a conventional loan. So conventional is better for you to go that route. Now, we love our veterans. We love the fact that they've defended our country. They protect our freedom. Another loan out are VA loans. Now, these are insured by the Department of Veterans Affairs, and you have to be careful, though. Okay, now, you can get in one of these with a VA loan. You can get in for zero down. The seller pays all the costs, but the issue is it can have a funding fee. Now, this funding fee can be 1.25% to 3%. Now, it depends on, number one, your years of service and how many VA loans you've had prior. So you want to be aware and do your math. But still, with a good down payment, a conventional loan is still better than a VA loan. So you're hearing a theme here. I keep saying conventional. That's the way to go. Owner financing is another option. And this is where you pay an individual over time, making that person your mortgage holder. So this is, you don't have a bank or a mortgage company. You have an individual that you're working with. Okay, now, you can be very creative here. This is a great way to finance a home. If you have one of these, because you can structure it to where there are graduated interest rates over time. You can get sweat equity. You can get credit for renovations or whatever you're doing to a home. The one thing I caution people is if you have one of these, an owner financing type of situation, get it in writing. Get it in writing. Have you all ever talked to someone and they told you something, they agreed to it, and then get amnesia later? They forget all about what they told you and what they agreed to. If you get it in writing and you've got it signed and you've got it notarized, now when they catch amnesia, what are you going to do? I'm just going to go over here and grab this little reminder here and help jog their memory. This will protect you. And that's the big thing to remember. Now, a home is a person's largest monetary asset. It's a big deal. I need you to have a plan so you can protect yourself, so you can defend yourself and be able to know that, hey, this is my family's legacy that I'm talking about here. I've got to defend myself. I've got to have a plan and be focused. I tell people to slow down. You want to slow down and use Chris's 3 C's of home buying. You want to be cautious, you want to be careful, and you want to be coherent. Now think about those. You want to be cautious, you want to be careful, and you want to be coherent as you address this whole issue of home buying. Because it's a big deal. It's a big step. It's a big deal to have a plan, you all. It really and truly is. And you have to take this area seriously. Remember what Davis told you. Attack your debt, okay? Have an emergency fund, and then save up to buy a home. Don't get confused about the process. That's the plan to follow. It works. Now, there are some other opportunities and challenges related to real estate mortgages, and I'm going to turn it back over to Dave so he can tell you more about those. So please welcome Dave Ramsey.
All right, let's look at some of the challenges and opportunities that are out there when it comes to mortgages and real estate. If you do what we teach, meaning we get you completely out of debt and you quit borrowing money, eventually your credit score is going to disappear. Well, we talk about that in the debt lesson in detail, how we want Mr. FICO to go away. If you close all of the accounts and they all have zero balances and there's no activity on your credit bureau report at all for 6 months, you won't have a credit score anymore. That's according to FICO's guidelines. And how are you going to buy a house in that situation? Well, you're going to do what's called manual underwriting. You find a mortgage lender that does manual underwriting. Sometimes they call it no credit score or non-traditional credit. Now, you can't live in your father's basement and do manual underwriting. You have to have been out in the world paying bills. And so you've got utility bills. You've been paying your rent earlier on time for 2 years. You've been on the job earlier on time for 2 years. You make money. You have a bank account. You show interaction with people. But it doesn't have to be a debt instrument in order to qualify. Manual underwriting with non-traditional credit can get you processed without it being a dime more expensive. But you have to find a mortgage company who actually knows how to do this, and probably less than half of them do it anymore. So you're going to have to do a little bit of work on your part, but you can still get the mortgage. Now, when you owe more on your home than it is currently worth, we call that in the real estate business upside down. A lot of people have gotten very familiar with that term in the last few years. But the deal is this. Your upside down is not a big problem as long as your life hasn't changed. You know, you just owe more on the house than it's worth. But if you're still got the same job, you still got the same budget, you can still pay the payment. You just sit there and pay the payment and let the market recover, and you're going to be just fine. The problem comes is when you need to move for some reason. You're transferred to another city. You're stuck in that thing. You may have to rent it out for a while. Or you get to where you lost a job or something like that, and you can't pay the payment anymore. What do we do then? Well, when you're facing a foreclosure, the next best thing to a foreclosure is a short sale. In a short sale, the home is sold for less than the amount owed, and the lien holder agrees to accept the proceeds from the home sale as payment in full. And so you owe $200,000. They do an appraisal on the property. They figure out after they foreclose on you, they're only going to get $150,000. So they just go ahead and take $150,000 now for the debt and let you go free, and the buyer buys it for $150,000. And you want to do a short sale without recourse. But a short sale is not a method of just, I want to move to a bigger house and I'm going to sell my house, because this is just to the left of foreclosure. This drops the hammer on your credit. It's almost like being foreclosed on, except they don't sue you for the difference later. That's the big difference. So do a short sale just before foreclosure, but not as a matter of convenience. Now, there's a phrase that's been out there rattling around that's bothering me, and I want to talk about it for a little bit. Willfully walking away from a mortgage, even when you have the money to make the payments, is called strategic default. Now, that's a nice flowery phrase that says, I signed an agreement and gave my word. I can honor my word, but it's no longer convenient. And so I'm just going to walk away. This house has gone down in value. I owe more on it than it's worth, and I want to move, and I don't care. Well, that's immoral. That's breaking your word, and that's a lack of integrity. You signed up for this trip. Now, if you can't pay the payment because you're getting foreclosed on, then we go to a short sale situation. But this idea of like, oh, it's never going to come back. Translation, I'm in drama mode because I want to move. It is going to come back. And so just walking away just because it's inconvenient is what strategic default is. And I got to tell you, that's wrong. It's the wrong thing to do. And I'm not going to participate in showing you how to do that or encouraging you or anyone else to do that. It's unethical. If you want some details about short sales and about being upside down and about strategic default and where things work and how this stuff falls, you can always check the website. We'll bring it up today.